It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, from freedomsphoenix.com studios. Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on later in the show, at least probably in the second hour. We're going to get back to our baseline killer stories. Yeah, just like we thought, it's breaking in the news. It's already hit CBS and, now what was the other one? Fox. And it's going to go ahead and it's going to grow. This is just the beginning. And we knew it would be. And we'll talk about that a little and play some of the clips from local coverage. And we'll see what happens. Now, Mark, he took off today for vacation. He goes, here, have a nice day. I'll be back next Wednesday. So, you know, but he did some coverage and so on to get it kickstarted and going. But, yeah, I haven't even had time to listen to the news coverage, so I'm going to hear it for the first time along with you. Jet got it up and ready because I've been working on another story. What we're going to do today, there was a gentleman Jim Kaiser, he's on the line, and we'll get to him in a little bit after the first break. And I'll be right with you, Jim, because this is only a real short break, and then we'll take a segment, and then we'll take a short break, and then we'll be right back with you. Jim Kaiser is one of the revolutionaries. I mean, they came from such diverse perspectives on just this freedom thing. You know, it's always, they want to be left alone, and there's somebody not leaving alone. I mean, I've been doing this, you know, for a long time, 20 years. And I'll tell you, there's people from the left, the camo-wearing guys, and then you have the, you know, like the Scottsdale Militia. I remember they called them the Scottsdale Militia. A bunch of my friends are always playing golf and, you know, rich individuals, and they march in the parades, you know, all marching, goose-stepping with their golf clubs over their shoulder. They called themselves the Scottsdale Militia. But now, even that would get you in trouble. I mean, they're just making fun of the whole thing. Yeah, we're Scottsdale Militia with our 9-iron, you know, and they would have fun with that. But, you know, you have other people that want to get in the spirit, and they just want to come down and help and advocate for freedom. And what? And Jim Kaiser was one of those men, and he had skills. He used to own a cabinet shop, you know, he did carpentry. And, you know, what can I do to help? And we're like, build the desk for our set. So he did. Beautiful. I mean, we worked on that thing for a long time. And, you know, whenever he had time, he'd come down. And on the weekends, you know, when he had custody of his son, he and his ex-wife shared custody, he would have his son come down, Ben. Ben's a cool kid. You know, fine. The problem was is that Jim was being forced by, his son was being forced by his mother, and the courts were trying to make him comply. When you have him, you must put him on the psychotropic drugs. You know, because we say. You know, yeah, you're just a dad. You don't know nothing. We're going to put him on these drugs. He went through the whole process with the court system, John, getting angry with just, you know, wow, what? You know, this is, it's like bad. So what happened was it got to a point to where we didn't know exactly what he was going to do and when and how, and you don't know how much is talk and not and so on. And all of a sudden, Jim's gone. You know, he went to Florida, started a new life there, been there for months. And then he got pulled over by the man, okay? So we're going to find out when we come back what happened to Jim. Now, he's out. He just got out of jail this morning. You know, so we got hold of him and said, Jim, word up, man. You know, he gave me a call this morning from Florida, said, start checking all the TV coverage coming out of here because, you know, it's pretty favorable on this side. A father that refused to allow the government to force medicate poison the mind of his son. What would he have to say? We'll find out in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the board, Jet Lacy, and Jet remembers Jim, don't you? You know, Jim was a good guy. You know, and we got Jim. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right for a guy who just spent the last 4 days in the Broward County Jail. I guess I'm doing okay.
Well, this is
a little worn out at the moment, but yeah, that's okay.
Well, I appreciate you spending time. We want to hear the story, and I don't know how much you can say or should say or shouldn't say, and details and whatever. But
I've got to be careful with what I say. You know, we've got the cases. It's going to court, so I've got to.
Well, I mean, there are some things that
I've got to be a little careful with my words here, but there's a lot of undisputable facts that will,
exactly. Where are you at? You're in Florida, right?
I'm in Florida right now.
Okay, so you know, there's
I literally got my toes in the water as I'm speaking to you.
You know, there is no doubt that you are stipulating the fact that you're in Florida at the time of your arrest. Where was Ben?
Ben was actually with my roommate. He was watching for a few hours while I was working.
And that was in Florida also?
That was in Florida.
You are in Florida with your son. You are not in Arizona. Where were you supposed to be?
Oh, I was supposed to be in Arizona.
See? Okay, now we're stipulating the facts here.
I was supposed to be. That's where they said they wanted me to be.
What is
supposed to be?
See, smart guy. Okay, now this is what I want to just, let's get a generalization here. Now, I talked to Glenn Sachs. Glenn Sachs is an advocate for fathers' rights. He's a big guy on, it's always, his problem is that, try and get out of the wind, man. I'm getting a lot of wind noise. So what happens is that we have a advocacy group that does this with women that abduct the children from the fathers. So you can imagine, he's like, hey, man, did he violate court orders and leave and took his son away from mom and so on? You know, I understand all the issues. I can't help you. Get out of the wind, Jim.
I'm trying, man. That means I got to take my toes out of the sand here.
Yeah, well, tough.
Hey, I'm going to walk to a good spot here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear a wind.
Okay.
So he's on the beach as we speak, I guess.
You got it.
Oh, that's nice. We narrowed it down.
I think I can't spend too much time here. Got to get back to Arizona, so it's.
When do you have to be back to Arizona?
I don't have a court date yet, but I'm gonna head back immediately within the next couple of days.
Well, where's Ben?
Well, they took him. They kept him overnight. The police department did, and his mom came and picked him up the next morning.
Okay, so Ben's at least with his mother. So
he's with his mother.
Now, I saw some. I haven't even hardly looked at any of the coverage. I know there's television coverage. You just got out. We're just finding all this stuff out, and we'll start getting it up. But
I just started looking at the stuff myself. I can't figure out if I'm a hero or a villain yet.
Well, it depends who you ask. But the point is that,
right.
What would Ben say?
Well, I've got when they took Ben, my roommates here, my friends were there, and they actually recorded him. They got him on video. And he said, I do not want to go back. I don't want to go to my mom's house. My mom gives me medicine, and I don't like it.
Yeah, no, that always goes in your favor. Well, I'm telling you, I know Ben is such a good kid.
He's a great kid.
And we all loved having him around. And you could tell the difference, from when you first get him and he's kind of, staring at the walls or whatever, and then when he starts becoming like a 9, 10-year-old kid again. He's like, what, 9?
Right. It's an amazing difference.
How old is he?
He's 9. 9 and a half.
A cute 9-year-old boy, and his father decides to abduct him. Whatever definition that is. You're taking your son away from.
Wait a minute. Let's get it straight. The state decided to abduct him.
Oh.
I'm his dad. I don't abduct. When the state tries to take him away from me, that's abduction.
See, man. Okay. You, man. Okay,
I'm
telling you, you know, this is what's going to come.
Kidnapping, abduction, what the heck is that all about? I'm his dad.
Well, you got a mother, too. You know, you got a mother. Then you got the all-powerful man with the gun that's saying, you know, thou shalt share in this manner. And part of that process is the government and the mother decided that he needs to be on these drugs. Now, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to have a friend of mine. She's a pharmacist in Indiana that I've known for a long time. And I said, you know, can I call you just to, you can give me just as a friend on air, you know, what this stuff is. So she'll tell me, but you can tell me what's the name of the drugs that they had so I can tell her.
Adderall.
And they wanted
amphetamine salts is the stimulant.
Well, why did they want to give it to him? For what? Because he talked back to teachers or something?
He wouldn't sit still and he wouldn't listen to the teacher. He wanted to get up and do his own thing.
Sounds like a Thomas Edison to me. So,
you think? Sounds like a 9-year-old to me.
I know. It's like you have these kids. You know, I'm not a professional. I just had 4 kids, okay? And I'm telling you, we pulled them out when they were in like second, third grade. You know, they were kind of along there, all 4 of them together. And I remember my second oldest was in second grade, I think. So I guess my oldest was in third. And we just said, no, we're done. We see where this is going. You know, because and it was the opposite with my son, Forrest. He was the quiet, sit-in-the-corner one. They loved him. They didn't give a crap whether he learned anything or not. He was just quiet. That's what they wanted.
Sure, that's the way the system works. I mean, imagine being a teacher where you got, you know, 30 kids to keep under control. You want them all just, sit still, look forward, and be compliant.
And that's exactly
it doesn't matter if you're learning.
Well, see, that's what happened with my son. He didn't turn in his homework one day, and I go, hey, man, what the heck? Yeah, turn in this. Call the teacher. She's probably still there. Get you partial credit. I'm trying to make a big deal out of turning in your homework. And he goes, well, I don't need to. I made my day. Made your day. What's that? They just wanted you to be good. They didn't care if you learned anything, because if you had like 50 points you had in a day, and if you retained over 40 points in a day, then you made your day. And you didn't lose points by not turning your homework unless you did it 2 days in a row. So if he just turned in homework on Tuesday and Thursday, that's all the homework he had to do. And I'm going, you know, he's gaming the system. I'm supposed to say he's dumb, but they were going to let him be dumb because if he was just because he sat still and did it quietly. And I'm like, no. So now we have a young man that didn't sit still. You got to entertain me, man. You got to, make it worth my while to sit down. And I just remembered, you're boring and I got legs. So I'm going over here.
I understand.
They don't have a special class, you know, where they put non-boring teachers. But the thing is that they want to have you to be compliant, a drone in the machine, and they will do whatever it takes to do that. What were they doing to do that? They came up and they said, you know, your kid won't sit still, so we're going to what? We're going to entertain him, we're going to educate him, we're going to give him other opportunities, or we're just going to give him drugs. So what did they do?
That's what they do.
Well, how did this come where you were? I mean, didn't you have some say in this? You're going, whoa.
You know, I was supposed to, and I don't want to get, you know, big time into our custody issues, and don't want to turn this into a huge custody fight on your show here. But yeah, I was supposed to. It was supposed to be. We were supposed to make these sort of decisions together, and it just never happened that way. She just emailed me one day, said, I got Ben diagnosed with ADHD and got him a prescription for Adderall, and you need to start giving it to him. That's how it started, and I immediately said, no, I don't think so.
So if you don't do it, you know, and there's other things, too. I mean, we'll talk to Fran about this. There were problems where you have you start giving these kids drugs at a period of time, certainly when they start going through puberty and so on, you take them off. A lot of people didn't know all of these gun shootings, Columbine laying waste, Cho going in, killing people at Virginia Tech, and all these kind of, they were on these drugs.
It's amazing when you look at those statistics of school shootings, what, you know, compared to the percentage of kids that are on these psychotropic drugs, and then the percentage of the school shooters that are on them, and it's nearly every single one of them. It just messes up their mind.
So I can see where, from your perspective, and many others would have the opinion that, you know, maybe the abusers is not the people that want to keep them off of these mind poisons. And I applaud your taking this seriously, but you know, there's going to be people, you violated the law. You know, you violated the mom having some access to, because it goes the other way, too.
What's the law? Ernie, what's the law? Okay? I mean, I have the right to raise my child any way I see fit is a fundamental right. That's not a right anyone can take away from me. That's not a right the judge can take away from me. So when he makes a law that says I need to drug my kid, I don't see that as a valid law.
Well, what role does the mother get in this? I mean, you know,
well,
where...
Mom wants them drugged. Mom's got her own issues, and you know, Ben is just a lot easier to deal with when he's a, you know, little zombie.
You
and
know...
That's the way Mom likes him.
And, you know, does Ben tell the difference? I mean, does he know what's going on? Does he...
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember when I was 9 years old. I wasn't no fool. You know, so I imagine, and Ben's a smart kid, so I'm just,
he's a smart kid. He knows how he is on the drugs, he knows how he is off the drugs, and he does not want the drugs.
You know, the one thing that I really want to make sure Ben gets to have a voice in this, oftentimes, and that's where, you know, a big get out of the wind, man. That is one thing that we have as a big deal in the libertarian movement was always the children grew up to be adults advocating that they have a say. They're going, look, I knew I was supposed to have a say. I should have had a say. I didn't have a say. Well, we're going
and you know, we tried. We tried that in court. I insisted that the judge.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. And after you find a place where there's no wind, we'll be right back.
All right.
On Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Or the times they are changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin.
Yeah, I can let that song go. I just like it. The Jet's like freaking out, man. You know the thing that I want to make sure we all understand from this case is that Jim Goodfather. You know, I'm just, you know, because I can say that because I can. You know, who do I ask? I see him and his son interact with each other as a father that loves his son. He wants what's best for his son. A judge in a black robe and an ex-wife and the child's mother had a different opinion. I don't know them. I don't know their motivations. I don't know anything other than Jim was always an attentive, loving father, and his son responded to it in a positive way, wanted to spend time with his dad. So when it comes up that I find out that he's gone, you know, gone, all of a sudden they do the Amber Alert stuff, you know, father takes off with son. You hear the same stuff, mother takes off with son, daughter, whatever. Someone willing to do that, you know, the first thing is I'm wanting to question, okay, all right, you know, why? Because I'm a father. You know, is there any circumstance under which I just disappear my children? I go, you know, I'm out of here. I can think of a gazillion, you know. Let me tell you one of them. If I have another person that is telling me, you know, be it the mother, a court system, or this, or that, and imagine you're a mother. And you have the husband that's, we're going to force feed these drugs to your child. And then she takes off with them. You know, and we're supposed to feel what? Well, maybe we don't know everything. So I want to make absolutely certain that we learn everything. You know, good, bad. You know, whatever's relevant to this case. I don't care about their marriage and why and ouch, quit it. And she said, he said, crap. Don't care. We're going to talk to Ben because, you know, and through him, people, you know, it's probably not appropriate. You get a 9-year-old kid, you're going to sit there and ask him questions. Of course, the man will, you know, they'll drill him in and, you know, show him, you know, Warshak, what do you call that? Warshak test or something. And say, what does this mean? Oh, it looks like a bat to me. Oh, evil nightmare, kid. You were stressed. You know, whatever. You know, they come up with crap. So the thing is that you almost the trauma more comes from the psychologist they got, you know, from, you know, the courts, you know, talking to you. You get kids messed up more from that than anything else. So from our perspective and the dozens of people that worked with for months with Ben and Jim, he was a little helper. He came down, you know, working with his dad. It was a, you know, father-son project. They only spend, you know, when he has son with him, a couple of hours at most, you know, working on stuff. And then they'd go, or he'd show them what he'd done. And every weekend or two, he'd come in and see the progress of the work on the studio and everything. Hey, Ben, word up, man. You know, have fun. And he wasn't as responsive, you know, when he'd first get him. It'd take a day, you know, at least a day or more before he started becoming a kid again. You know, running around wanting to touch all the tools and all that kind of stuff. I had two sons, man. I get it. If they're not wanting to push all the buttons and touch all the tools, they're on drugs because that's what they do. Now, the thing is that I wanted, you know, before we go, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to call Fran. I'm going to let you go, Jim. But I just wanted to give you an opportunity to, you know, just share from a father's perspective, do you regret what you did and why?
No apologies, no regrets. I don't regret it for a minute. You know, another thing about these drugs. in 2 years' time, Ben did not grow a bit. He did not grow a bit in height, and his weight actually decreased over 2 years while he was on these drugs. In the 3.5 months that I've had him, I'm not even going to tell you how much he gained in height because it's a freakish number. It's an unbelievable number. He gained a lot of height, and he put on probably 10 or 15 pounds. It was amazing this morning when I watched the interview with his mom, and they said, "Do you see any changes in Ben?" He said, "Yeah, he's a lot taller." So, you know what? 3.5 months, and I got my kid healthy. I spent 4 days in jail for that. Small price to pay.
Oh.
No regrets. No regrets whatsoever.
Jim, I know you'll do what you think's best for your son, and my thing is not so much, you know, for you. I mean, a father, you know, as a father, I understand. I hope you'll forgive me. We'll focus on Ben, because, you know, it's rare that anybody gets to speak for Ben. I mean, you'll speak about Ben, and, you know, the mother will say she speaks for Ben, and Ben will speak for Ben. I'm taller and healthier. But, you know, we'll just try and make sure that whenever he does get a chance to communicate, that it's shared. You know, his preferences, because that it may change. I mean, they start, you know, the first thing, I don't even know how they're going to, he gets back, what's the first thing they do? They open his mouth like a little bird and start shoving stuff down his throat? I mean,
exactly. You know, when they listed him on the National Center for Missing Children, they listed him as endangered missing. I couldn't figure out the whole endangered part of it, you know, because she was going, you know, she was saying, well, you know, at least he's with his father, and I know his father's not going to hurt him and all this. Endangered came because
the government says he's not on his drugs.
He prescribed medication that his father refuses to give him. He's in danger because he's got an amphetamine deficiency.
All right, good show, man. We're going to follow this, Jim. Go get some rest. Thanks for coming on. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence.
Cool, thanks for having me, Ernie.
You bet.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, from Freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios. And I know Fran Van Cleve out there just loved to hear all that, didn't you?
Yep.
that was for you, my friend. You know, the thing is that Fran and I have been friends for a long, long time, and back when we were little bitty kids. But what happened is we just had Jim Kaiser on. He was a gentleman that took his son out of state to Florida to keep him away from the forced medication ordered by the government. And he's just no. And one thing he told me that I two things that you probably should know: the chemical is Adderall, and it's an amphetamine salt, whatever that is. So you can tell us about that. The other thing was, is he goes for like 2 years. 9-year-old Ben, you know, he was kind of, you know, small petite kid. You know, I mean, he wasn't freakishly so or anything, but you could tell he's probably not the tallest kid in his class. And he goes for a long time, years, he didn't grow any. He even lost weight. He goes, he took him away for 3 months, 3.5 months, and the guy shot up in height and gained 15 pounds. Mm-hmm. So the mother, when they do the interview, you know, is anything different about your son? Yeah, he's a lot taller. So I'm wondering if this is a side effect of being off the drugs.
Well, yes, the drugs will definitely halt or definitely slow the growth of any child.
Well, first, let me say, Fran, you know why I called you. You're a pharmacist.
Right.
Okay, so you're familiar with these drugs and, you know, what they do and why and so on. So, you know, I got a pharmacy question. So I go, who do I know as a pharmacist? Fran. You know, Fran, good pharmacist. I mean, you're, you know, in a hospital right now, aren't you?
Well, I work on I have part-time work at a hospital, and I also work in retail.
So you're dealing, your hands are touching drugs each and every day. Is that not true?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, lots and lots of pills going across your fingers. Okay, so we go, all right, Adderall, tell me about it. Oh, well, go ahead and finish your thought on the how it affects your physiology.
Well, because it's such a powerful stimulant, your body is really it's like it's in a stress situation. This was invented in World War II by Nazi scientists. And they quickly found out how fast it could make you psychotic, but they didn't care because it kept their soldiers awake and doing stuff. As far as finding out how much it stunted the growth of a child, well, that wasn't found out until the last, you know, maybe 15 years, because it wasn't given to children. It was only given to soldiers originally. So once they found out that, in fact, they do help you focus. But the problem is that most of these kids, if they've been diagnosed properly, that's one thing. And you might think about that is that I'm not saying that ADHD does not exist, that some kids don't have real brain problems. But I do say that it's misdiagnosed a lot. And one of the problems is that with boys happen to be very active compared to girls. Well, most of the teachers in middle schools or grade schools are women, and their standards of what's interesting to read and what's interesting to do in a classroom is not the same as it's not going to comport with something that a young boy is interested in usually. You look at the reading list over the last 20 years and how they've changed, and it's no wonder the boys don't sit still. So, yeah, I do have a major problem with the way it's diagnosed, and then the medication in and of itself is very powerful and dangerous. If you have a problem with your brain, if you have a problem with focus that's honestly there because of its structure or because of some damage that you sustained, then you need some drug to help you fix that damage. But if it's just because you're a high-energy kid or you learn a different way, then it's not only inappropriate, it's going to cause you to display really crazy behavior because it stimulates dopamine in the brain. And the problem with that is dopamine makes you feel good, but also makes you feel very angry and very hostile, and it's a very tiny step over that to aggressive behavior to other kids or to yourself because you're beginning to hate yourself for how you're behaving.
Wow. You know, and if you're a kid, a young 9-year-old boy that doesn't want to read, you know, Jane wants Dick to help her play, you know, dress up with Spot. I mean, you know.
Right. You don't see the kids getting, the boys aren't getting assigned adventure stories like they really loved. I mean, that's why Harry Potter caught on so much.
Oh.
Because it was
filled
an adventure
void.
Story.
Filled a void. There was a void.
Right.
We just want y'all to sit there and be quiet and talk about the growing daisies. Now, I get it. You know, I get it. I mean, I remember our generation, you know, we spent most of our time outside playing. You know,
right.
Now you're
right. But they are amphetamine salts, and amphetamines are dangerous. I mean, remember those commercials that we grew up on?
Speed kills.
Well,
I remember.
It's speed.
You know, what was the, how did it make its way into this? I mean, of course, it's going to be a money thing. I know there's some, you know, buddy out there lobbying to doctors and prescribe this, and ooh, we found a problem. Whenever a government finds a problem, or you got special interests find a problem, I guarantee they got some cure and they're going to make money with it. Okay? I mean,
that's true.
That's just the way it is. So I'm, but how did this start to come in as a legitimate, I hate to say the word, but I mean, accepted practice of giving preteen children amphetamines? How did that come in? And it's such a big way.
Well, it's hard to say exactly what it was. I mean, first of all, attention deficit disorder became something that was in the diagnostics of statistics mental disorders, the DSM-3. It was registered in there as a particular kind of syndrome. And so once you've got a diagnosis, and, you know, it's kind of like if all you've got is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And kids have a problem with focusing for a lot of different reasons. But it soon became that anything that was a problem focusing was ADD. And they came up with other disorders. Like OD, oppositional defiant disorder. That was another one for kids.
I probably got it. What is the symptoms of that?
OD, you won't go along with anything. You're always saying no. Well, I see that a lot in my 2-year-old. You know, it's just, it was the medicalizing of childhood. And I honestly, you look at kids and they're being more and more forced to behave as older than their age. Well, you can make a big case against the prolonged adolescence the kids have in this society, but forcing young children to be older than they are, you know, that's not legitimate. And fortunately, you see people getting more and more focused on, well, Johnny needs to go to Harvard, or if he doesn't get into the school, well, we're going to plan 15 years ahead before he goes to college to make sure he does go. Now, there's some problems with that, but unfortunately, it's the child taking the drug, not the parent. And maybe it should be the other way around.
Oh, good point. Here, have some of this. You won't, try and kill your child's mind. One thing is when they take him off. I remember our friend Vince Aprenowitz. He started studying a lot of these kids that go on shooting rampages and so on. Mm-hmm. And he was finding out that, like, you know, most, if not every single one of them are on these drugs, or there is a time when they take them off, they have to be like under suicide watch because there's something happens there. Do you know anything about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, if he's talking about things like Prozac and the other ones that release serotonin, then when you're off your serotonin, it helps to spread the serotonin around in your body more. So you always have production and breakdown stuff, and it prevented the breakdown from happening. And then when you're off the drug, what happens is you end up grinding up more of it very quickly. So it's like you're walking around feeling totally unable to feel happy or good. And you also have these things called brain zaps where you're just sitting somewhere and you feel like you're falling over. So it's very hard to sit still in front of a computer or anywhere without feeling dizzy and like you have to lie down and very irritable. And you can't turn your head when you're walking without feeling like you're going to fall over. And this can happen for weeks after you get off these drugs, because it's so hard to get back up to speed again. And the same thing with getting off the amphetamines, but it's not quite so bad with the brain zaps. I think there's more problems with, you see more problems with either aggression or nightmares. Some people have psychotic episodes. I haven't seen anyone, but I've read about it.
Wow. Dangerous thing. Drugging children?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't do studies on them without it being very problematic. There was a drug company recently that did a bunch of drug studies on Nigerian children, and well, some of them died, and there were some real problems with how they conducted the whole thing, and I think they ended up paying almost, well, it was at least $100 million, I think, to the country. God knows the parents probably didn't get anything for it, but you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and things like Risperdal, that's another one, very commonly seen. And if children are actually psychotic, maybe it helps, but the dangerous thing about Risperdal is it causes the neurons to leak. And a gentleman I know, his nephew in his 20s just died of that, just went into sudden respiratory arrest, which... was not clear why he had that, but you don't see that happen too much in people in their 20s that don't have any problems with asthma and other or cardiac illnesses, nothing. But he went into respiratory arrest, and after he died, they discovered that he had, on autopsy, a number of infarcts in the brain where he had had minor strokes. And the mother had noticed several times that he had been limping or couldn't walk correctly, and she assumed that he had just hurt himself. They didn't realize he had stroked out in his 20s.
Wow. I mean, without knowing anything about any particular case or not, to have a father that doesn't want to have these chemicals in his son's system, and he is of the opinion that they're doing him damage, and he's better off without them. You know, it's not a big stretch to understand why he would be, as a father, compelled to remove his child from the danger.
Right, and the fact is that some kids are just so high energy that if they just get a lot of exercise every day, their focus is incredibly improved. They don't need anything else. At other times, maybe they need a change of diet. They're not getting enough protein. They're just getting too much carbohydrates, junk like that. There's so many different things that you can do that are not drug-related to help the child, and they're not going to have side effects.
Well, you know, you can take a little more time. You can see you got a divorced mother, and I think she was living with another gentleman, but you know, I don't know if they're married or what. Doesn't matter, but... You know, you have a single child. He's a young boy, high energy, doing, 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 doing. And I didn't see him. I didn't think he was particularly, you know, I mean, he was kind of more lethargic when Jim would first get him. And he kind of, you know, was not as responsive. But, you know, by a couple of days spent his dad off the drugs, you know, he's a regular kid. I mean, you know, there is not a little boy that comes down here that you don't have to watch. Don't touch the tools. Don't go in that room. Don't push those buttons. Don't, I mean, before they even know that they're there. They're going, what? There's buttons in there? Oh, thank you for telling me. I mean, you know, so, you know, I know my kids. I mean, you know, I am experienced in such things. But the thing is that if you look at a child and you are their parent, and you see threats to them that will affect them for the rest of their lives, you have to make decisions.
Right.
And, you know, and if you're not the father, then who is? The government? The guy in a black robe? You know, are you going to cede somebody? He's going to wave some piece of paper in front of you and pound on a gavel on, you know, desk and say, you know, I'm the dad now and you're not? I mean, this is not going to go away. And
it's only going to get worse if we have government-run health care.
Oh, man, I didn't even think of that. You damn Skippy. They're going to be, oh, I'm sorry. Your children really belong to us now.
Right.
You know, they have this in Great Britain right now. They have called sin jails for families. Now, if you're not complying with, you know, blah, blah, and medication, or you don't make enough money and the house isn't clean, whatever, they take the entire family and put them in a supervised living.
Oh, my God.
I'm going, wow. And they call them sin jails or something. And, you know, family sin jails, something like that. And we had it on Freedom's Phoenix, and I'm just, you know, of course. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? They want to take, you want the government to take care of you and everything? Well, guess what? They will. You know, I just assume they not. Well, Fran, you know, thanks for spending time with me, you know, and how's that drug into your baby going?
She's not getting anything except vitamins.
You know, that's one thing that, you know, you have a single mom, a boy that's active and so on, and you just, oh, man, can I get some peace? Here, take this pill. You know, heck, there's a lot of times somebody said, give your kid this pill. I know what it was. It was called NyQuil.
Yeah.
Here, come here. You need some NyQuil, you know. Here's some whiskey, you know. Got some whiskey. Yeah, it just looks like you're sniffling, man. You know, but that, I don't even remember if we ever did that, but it definitely crossed my mind. but the thing is that you go there and you say, maybe you should not just put cereal and milk out for him every single morning. Maybe you shouldn't make Pop-Tarts his number one, you know, snack, you know. Maybe when he comes home from school, the first thing you don't do is, you know, just give him a thing of cake and some processed microwave meal thing. Maybe that might have something to do with his health. His growth,
exactly.
His everything. So, you know, let's go ahead and start thinking about, you know, going, you know, the tens of thousands of years of evolution and that God thing, and kind of, you know, let's just do it the way we're supposed to and eat right, you know, and exercise. And, you know, let's try that. Oh, and when you got young boys and you want them to sit still, don't be freaking boring. Don't mm-hmm. be boring. You're boring. I got legs. And they just, you know, wander off. That's, you know, I know that too. So, heck, I was one of them. So I'm going, you know, I'm like, yeah, you guys are boring, you know. But fortunately, I felt I got a pretty good education. I was stimulated, and it wasn't as bad as it is now. But now they warehouse them so much that they just need them to sit there and take it like a man. Well, he's not a man. Fran, thanks for spending time with me. And it's great that you would take the time out of your lunch hour here to, you know, help us out a little bit, and I appreciate it.
Well, thanks. It's always good to talk to you, Ernie.
Well, say hello to Athena for me and Kent, and tell Kent thanks for getting hold of you for me.
Okay, and sure.
Thank you. Fran Bye-bye. Van Cleve, pharmacist from Indiana, is sitting there, you know, lots of drugs going over, and she knows some are just not that good. Certainly not for kids. Why don't you just feed them right? We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and on the board, Jet Lacey. Jet spent a lot of time with Jim, you know, and Ben, and we had, you know, over the months that we were building stuff and everything, it was you know, fun. We were down here having fun. A lot of times, you know, young kids were here, and they were, we have a large extra space next door to us that we have access to, that just open space there they haven't leased out, and it's on the way to our bathroom. So what happens is the kids are in there playing wiffle ball all the time. I don't know. Who brought down the wiffle ball anyway? Did you bring that down?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Wiffle ball is like my favorite sport when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah. No, they had a lot of fun. We're in there, you know, playing with the kids because we treat kids like adults. I did. Everybody, you know, you got responsibilities, man. You want to be here and help, you get the help. You can't leave a mess. You know, you go and play and do whatever you want. But gosh darn it, you know, we expect you to, you know, not mess up stuff. You can't take the drill and start going into the walls and stuff, you know. What are you, on government drugs? But, you know, Ben was a good kid, and we like, and Jim was a good father, you know. He is a good father. Heck, you know, when you're willing to, you know, just say, I'm leaving my life here. My son is my son. I mean, think about this. When we were building up to the war in 2003, my sons were teenagers. Now, they were just getting into the, you got to register selective service with the man. You got to, you know, oh, we're going to draft, and they're threatening about draft, and we need a draft. McCain wanted a draft. Oh, that's good for you. You know, Obama, we need, you know, a youth, Obama youth thing, and, you know, goose stepping around for whatever. And you're sitting there filling out, saying you can't get your driver's license unless you agree to be on selective service. They made that change between my son Forrest, which is 23 now, and my other son Corsair, which is 21. Between those two, one could get his license without having to register, and the other one couldn't. So I'm like, you need my signature? That ain't happening, buddy. Get your mom to do it, because won't do it. So he convinced his mom to do it, and so he's on selective service. Forrest isn't. So I'm going, okay, what's the fine? I think it's $500,000 and 10 years in jail if you don't fill that out. And I'm going, you know what? Take your best shot, son bitch, because we'll see what happens. Would I help my son escape the clutches of the king? Damn, Skippy, without hesitation, my entire life would cease as it is now to protect my son from the force of government to enslave him. What kind of father would I be if I didn't? In fact, I have friends that were in the Vietnam era. They were ready. Their fathers, a lot of them, you know, just kind of libertarian anarchist types, you know, knew the proper role of government, was not willing to cede their responsibility as parents to the man. You know, they were ready to put him into Canada. Now they're like, yeah, here we go. And he just happened to not get the right number drawn, so he didn't get drafted, but they were ready to go.
Actually, I have a friend, Andy, that he's actually the one, my friend that called me on the show while you were gone. He did. He actually went to Canada. He was, you know, he's a little bit older than you, probably early 60s now. And he
a lot older than me.
Yeah, you know. Well, he had dual citizenship, and, you know, we're from 18 miles from the Quebec border. And he left, and he stayed up with relatives in Canada for years until he was allowed to come back when they were, you know, finally pardoned.
Yeah, it was President Ford granted amnesty to everybody or pardons or something like that. Come on back. And a lot of people just stayed. You know, I'm good. I'll be up here. Maybe they want to come back now. But, you know, the thing that I what is the responsibility of a parent? You know, to keep them safe. You know, to realize their potential. You know, if you're taking government mandated, especially, you know, required drug, the state said, no, you have to, your kid doesn't comply. You have to take these drugs because we say. Who's the parent? I don't know. This case is going to be interesting. We're going to follow it for just that reason, advocating for Ben. We'll be right back.